Clearwater Hut Club Trio has joined us. Welcome to the Roadhouse, gentlemen.
Thanks for having us.
Great to be here.
Club Trio. So we'll go around the room. We'll introduce the band, starting on Looker's left and moving left to right on your radio dial. We've got Matthew Miltich on the big old bass. And we're not exaggerating when we say old.
No, it's an old bass. It was handmade in Germany in 1931. It's been through the wars. And so have I in some regards. So yeah. We get along well. Thank you.
Matthew Miltich. Father of Sam.
Yeah. How great is it, or is it, to be able to be a, you know, play with your son?
It's remarkable. It is great. But he is also my boss.
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
Yeah. 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 Okay. Well,
family affairs.
Moving right along.
Luckily, we've got Brian Morrison in the middle, though, to keep the peace.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, here I am.
Cook Hi. County Zone. Brian Morrison. Right. Welcome. Yeah. Welcome, Brian. Got your beautiful. Lar guitar?
Yes, it's a Lar. LH650.
That's right. And it was somewhat new to you the last I saw you.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping you got that all broken
in. I'm familiarizing myself with it.
Beautiful, beautiful guitar, beautiful voice, Brian Morrison. And then Sam Miltich, the one and only.
Hello.
On the jazz guitar.
Yeah, this is a Schaefer guitar built on the shores of Lake Superior, built in Duluth. So it's a very nice axe that I'm holding here this evening.
Beautiful.
Yeah, nice.
So the Hut Club, we've heard you guys in different configurations before. This is the trio that's somewhat new.
Yeah, this is, I guess we use the term club because it sort of seems to be a rotating cast of characters of jazz musicians in the latest version of the ensemble. It seems appropriate to be playing in Grand Marais with Brian Morrison. We're very happy to be playing with him. Sort of birds of a feather here, jazz guitar. Nuts, the two of us digging on Django Reinhardt and Wes Montgomery and Joe Pass. So yeah, we got the trio here this evening. We're going to be down at the tavern playing starting at 8:30. So really glad to be back
on two nights.
Memory.
Good.
Yeah, that's right. Tonight, tomorrow at the tavern.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And tomorrow too. Good thing you're not driving back tonight.
Yeah, that's a good thing
because the snow.
That's what we've heard.
Yeah, but it may turn out to be nothing.
Yeah, 1 to 10.
Yeah, somewhere between 1 and 10. Yeah. Yeah.
Some variables
going on there.
It
was 1 to 12, but now it's...
Yeah, I vote for 1.
Yeah, I do too.
All right, well, thanks so much.
I'd rather have rain, actually. But
yeah, thanks for making time for us at the Roadhouse here, pre-tavern show.
Absolutely.
Give our listeners a taste of what's to come later on tonight downtown. But I'm sure that there's sort of certain ambience that we're going to lack in the dryness of our refreshment stand.
I have a mug.
Yeah.
Here. We're going to make up for it in virtuosity.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Beautiful. Beautiful. All right, guys, take it away with your gypsy jazz.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Tasty.
Thank you.
Tasty.
How cool is that, Tom?
Nice. Yeah.
You picked the right show to host.
Yes, I did.
Oh, so jazz, right?
Yeah.
Your favorite genre?
Yeah. Yeah, by far.
Yeah. And you guys do it right. Sam Miltich, Brian Morrison, and Matthew Miltich, the Clearwater Hot Club Trio. I love your laid-back style, Sam. I've seen you play before, and you've got this laid-back style.
Yeah, you know, it just kind of depends on, like, I sometimes feel like a musical chameleon because I just sort of try and form to the vibe of an ensemble and stuff. And for this group with Briand, it just feels like a natural fit to do that, you know. And when I play with other players, I might be up more on top of the beat. But in this circumstance, it's like I like feeling laid back about it. I like trying to make it lyrical and stuff. So, you know, I just lean back in the chair and kind of let the guitar do the work. So.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah. I enjoyed watching the two of you trade off lead. And it's fun for me to watch how musicians interact with each other as a nod or a head lift or a, you know, very subtle. And you guys, I mean, fit very well together. And then having that wonderful bass there to kind of keep you going. It's wonderful. Nice music. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us here.
Thanks. Let's continue with the virtuosity.
More. Let's
All
have
right.
more.
We're going to do a tune here. This one is, you mentioned the gypsy jazz genre, and we're kind of doing a little crossover here between straight-ahead jazz and gypsy jazz. We're going to do a tune that was written by the great Django Reinhardt, one of my guitar heroes. We're going to do a composition of his. This one is titled Nuage, but we're going to do it sort of a Latin style for the heck of it. So, hope you enjoy Nuage, which actually is French for clouds. And I don't know what to say. I hope that the clouds hold merely rain that will melt the snow and not snow itself.
Thank you.
We'll leave it at
that.
Thank you
for that. Yes. Thank you.
That's it. The Clearwater Hot Club Trio. Clearwater Hot Club Trio. Matthew Miltich on bass. Brian Morrison on guitar with Sam Miltich's guitar as well. A perfect pairing of improvisational jazz. How much of that are you just making up, Brian? Is that never the same song twice?
When you improvise, you learn the phrases, and those phrases are kind of like embedded into your brain, and they're like pieces that you can use at will. Mm-hmm. You see, so so then it's kind of like a mental puzzle, you know, as you go along, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ingredients, taking ingredients out of the off the shelf and. Mm-hmm. Putting them to
yeah,
work,
but spontaneously and in time and
yeah. But it's a lot
impressive.
Harder. Than it
yeah, it's impressive. Yeah, you make it look easy, but we know it's not.
Well, both you got sort of the prodigy like childhood virtuosos, right? I mean, you guys been playing since diapers.
Close, no. I was out of those by 13, I guess. But yeah, I started picking up the guitar when I was about 13. I started playing music when I was really pretty young. I was about 4. And the story goes that I threw a temper tantrum because I wanted piano lessons because I liked Duke Ellington so much.
Oh.
So I started on piano and did that whole thing. And then when I was 13, found the guitar and, you know, eventually wound up listening to Django. And then it was like, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm
so,
doing that.
So, Matthew, you had music going on all the time at home, and were you playing too?
Yeah. The main thing is that we weren't just jazz lovers; we were music lovers. So
yeah.
we listened to classical music, and we listened to bluegrass, and we listened to rock and folk music. And Duke Ellington said there's only two kinds of music: good music and bad music. We like good music.
Yeah.
And so Sam was exposed to all different kinds of things, but it was. You know, jazz was my favorite, and it's what my dad played.
Mm-hmm.
And he just, I mean, basically, I had hoped to be able to play jazz with my brothers, and I got to do it a little bit because we had a band. And but they were more into rock and folk rock and rhythm and blues, and I liked all that stuff okay. Mm-hmm. But I really liked jazz, and I thought, well, living in northern Minnesota, I chose to live in the woods and didn't want to live in the city.
Yeah.
And when Sam came along... that's what he chose, and one day he said, Dad, get the bass.
Nice.
A week later, he had a gig for us.
Wow. Nice. And, Brianne, you've been all over the place, grew up in New York and St. Paul. And
right, yeah. I was born in New York and raised in Rhode Island, and we moved to St. Paul in 1970.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I like music so much is I grew up around it, of course. My mother and father both played guitar and sang folk songs around the dinner table after dinner and at parties. And so I was going to try to think of doing an imitation of my he would strum a certain way.
Yeah.
That's how we would do it.
Yeah.
John Henry was a young man.
That's how
he would sing songs like that. Yeah.
Nice.
So, but there's got to be natural talent here at work. Like, is this the kind of thing you learn, or are you just born with?
I think people are born with an aptitude, you know, and anybody can learn. Some people learn quicker than others, and you know, they have an aptitude for it, and they pick it up, and it seems to come natural to them. I think guitar came natural to me.
Yeah.
I do think it's like one of those questions of nature or nurture. Which one is it? And it has to be both, I think. You know what I mean? I like the Bill Evans quote. Intuition can lead knowledge, but it can't be out there on its own. Sooner or later, you're gonna flounder. And I really like that, because that's the truth of the matter is, you know, you can have talent, but if you don't foster that talent and you don't, you know, further your education as a musician, which is something that, like, we as jazz musicians really, I feel like, do and should strive for, which is musical growth.
Mm-hmm.
And taking on new influences. And, you know, what I was playing when I was 18 isn't anything like what I'm playing now. You know, those things, they evolve and they learn and grow, and music is like anything else. It has an evolution to it, and so it's, you know, a combination of both, you know, having an aptitude for it and your willingness to be disciplined about it and be intentional about your work and what you're doing. And, you know, takes a lot of, I'm sure it took a lot of layups for Michael Jordan to really just nail it. You know, you got to practice, so.
Yeah.
Well, Clearwater Hot Club Trio playing tonight and tomorrow night downtown Grand Marais at the Gunflint Tavern.
And then down to Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, on Monday?
April 3rd. Is that a Tuesday?
Tuesday.
And then back at the Ice House
in Minneapolis on Nicollet, right near 24th.
Yeah, and then back
to Black Forest.
Back to Lutzen the next day. Yep. So crisscrossing the state here.
Yeah.
The Lutzen thing, I think, is all original music written by Sam and Brian. Is that right?
Yeah.
That is true.
That's the case, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, for those of us up here, that'd be a good thing to hang on to as Papa Charlie's on Wednesday night. Wednesday night. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Can we have more music? There's one other thing I want to talk to Sam about, and it's a project he's working on now, the improvised life, but I think we better have music first.
Oh, sure. Okay, we can, we'll do a little music first, and then we can get to that. We're going to do a tune written by Henry Mancini, and I promise that it's not the Pink Panther theme. No, we're going to do a beautiful song. This one was written for a film that Jack Lemmon was in and became a jazz standard. Titled The Days of Wine and Roses. You got it, man. Thank you.
How lucky are we to have these musicians here tonight? This is great.
Well, we're lucky to be able to be playing. That's, I mean, that's like how we feel. We're like, you know, any opportunity to be out and playing, because, you know, like, I would definitely be sitting in my office doing this on my own.
Yeah.
But fortunately, people want to come out and listen, so we feel the same way.
Yeah,
so.
Good. Yay.
Win-win.
Yeah.
Clearwater Hot Club Trio.
Can we talk about the improvised life?
Sure.
Exploring the intersections of mental health and creativity through jazz. I love that idea.
Yeah, well, the idea came to me. I'm very open about this. I wasn't always, but I'm diagnosed with schizophrenia, and I consider myself being in recovery because I'm doing quite well, and I have a lot of self-awareness about my mental illness, and I don't always have symptoms, and when I do, I catch them, and I manage them, and I do what I need to do to be well. And a huge part of that wellness for me has been, well, actually, since we're up here in northern Minnesota, I'll say the natural world and the arts. And music has been sort of a source of, I guess, self-healing for me. And so this project I'm doing is a Minnesota State Arts Board Arts Touring Grant. So I'll be taking a program where it's going to be a combination of sort of my personal story of recovery, what's led me to recovery, as well as that narrative being interwoven amongst music, which a lot of it is going to be centered around the music of Thelonious Monk. Also original compositions, which some of which are based around or inspired by Thelonious Monk compositions as well. And I kind of got the inspiration for this. I read Thelonious Monk's biography, which was incredibly fascinating. I'm the kind of guy that wants to know the pastrami sandwich he ate on a Tuesday in 1958. And this book is like that. It's got like everything you would ever want to know about Monk and what the wallpaper at the Five Spot was like. And for a jazz freak like me, I loved every minute of it, and I just hung on it. And, you know, Monk was sort of this known eccentric figure, the high priest of bebop, with rather eccentric behavior. And, you know, it's sort of known now, they're saying that he was diagnosed with bipolar. And there is different speculations as to what was going on with him, whether it was autism, or I know he was diagnosed at one point with schizophrenia unspecified type, you know, when he wound up in a psychiatric hospital in San Francisco when he was on tour. And I really related to the story in that, you know, he was also someone who had a major mental illness, but that was sort of besides the point. The inspiration for me was this was a guy who, in spite of that, created some of the greatest art of the 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
And it provided me a sense of hope that there's a life beyond just the illness itself and the label and, you know, at times perceived stigma around the illness, that you can have a real life. And there is moments in time when I felt like that might not be possible for me, given what I'm dealing with. But that the book was so inspirational because of his artistic contributions. But beside that, his personal life, he was like a dedicated husband and a dedicated father, which is something that I value in my life. I have kids and a family and a wife. And he wasn't nearly as eccentric as people made him out to be. He was incredibly hardworking. He was incredibly dedicated to his career and his craft. He was beloved by many people and loved many people. And it was just such a, to me, it felt like a very hopeful story in spite of a lot of dramatic twists and turns. But that's, you know, life in general. So that was the inspiration behind the grant writing for me, was that. So it was like, well, let's interweave my personal story, because people have asked me to speak about it. And I've done so, and it's been really well received. You know, I've spoken for NAMI, the National Alliance for Mental Illness, in our region, and have spoken down in Alexandria, Minnesota. And people have asked me to share their music, share my music. And so I thought, well, let's take this on the road. I've already done this. Why don't we get a grant to actually fund doing some of this stuff so I can go? And essentially what's going to happen is I'm going to put a daytime program on for people who are receiving mental health services and providers. So, like, we're working with Northland Counseling up in International Falls, and we'll do a daytime performance there. One of the things that was important to me is it's like I really believe in the value of music for all people. And I think, you know, rural populations are a lot of times underserved for the arts, and especially jazz. So I wanted to bring this to rural Minnesota, not just metro Minnesota. I wanted to bring it to people who are struggling with mental illness. So there'll be a daytime performance component, and then there's going to be an evening component as well, where we play for a performing arts center. For instance, in Eye Falls, we're going to be playing at the Bacchus Performing Arts Center, and that's going to be more designed as a program for the general public and a way to educate people around the issues of mental health, mental illness, and to basically try and reduce stigma and say, look at the life that is possible for mm-hmm. you or for the person that you love or that friend that struggles with that. So anyways, that's the program. Most of it's going to be occurring in April of 2019, so it's a ways off, but I'm also working on an August performance. So right now we're in the scheduling planning phases and more creative work to be followed. It's a rather big project, but I'm up to the task and grateful that I was got funding through the Minnesota State Arts Board. So I'm grateful to have it, and thanks for bringing it up.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for doing it.
You're welcome, for sure.
Just a quick aside, my high school art teacher is the guy who got me turned on to jazz as a junior in high school and then a senior in high school, and he struggled with mental illness. And I was real excited to have tickets to see Thelonious Monk at the Guthrie Theater. And
what year was that?
It was probably 66.
Wow.
65 or 66.
It gets better.
It gets better. The performance was canceled, and Monk, they said he had some health issues. Turns out my high school art teacher he was manic depressive. He ended up in a psych unit in Minneapolis with Thelonious Monk, and they had a week together. So,
wow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What year did
story?
What year did Thelonious die?
I think it was 80 or 81. It was the early 80s. Yeah, and if it was 1966, okay. He would have been playing with my favorite quartet, which he probably would have been with Charlie Rouse, mm-hmm. Ben Reilly, and Larry Gills. That's the epic quartet, man.
Right.
That I love so deeply.
Yeah, yeah. So it was either 65 or 66. I don't remember.
Wow.
But yeah, yeah.
Great story, Tom. Thanks for sharing, both you guys. Thank you.
So, yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. We've got time for just one more.
Yeah, you know, I think we're going to do a tune, Mañana de Carnaval.
Okay.
Black Orpheus, beautiful. Bossa Nova. This is just Briand and I picked up this tune. It's just a real, you know, it's out of the real book. It came from a film in the 1950s, and we just played it as a ballad, and it was like, wow, this is so much better as a ballad. It's so gorgeous. So we're going to do this tune. Thank you.
by Clearwater Hot Club Trio, taking us out with great jazz here at the Roadhouse, 6:59. Yes. Thank you, guys. Beautiful.
Thank
Clearwater Hot Club Trio, Sam Miltich, Brian Morrison, Matthew Miltich.